Mary Magdalene broke that vase, sweet-smelling things upon Jesus and anointed him with it, broken and spilled out upon him, and the fragrance went into the whole room, the Bible said. And then he was broken and spilled out, and his fragrance went forth into the whole earth. And now you're to be broken and spilled out and put at his feet so that your fragrance can go forth into this city. Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Okay, I need some guys to hand out some papers. Who wants to get out of here before 2 o'clock? While they're coming, go ahead and start me. Psalms 127. We got to get started. We're going to read this, then we'll read Matthew. Psalms 127. Have you enjoyed the house of the Lord this morning? And David said, it was good when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. It should always be good. You should be afraid and fear that you will miss something if you don't go. And that's very true here. In fact, I will promise it. You will miss something. This whole ministry is set on building line upon line upon line and precept upon precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little, until we come into an image. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and he saith that before he ascended, he first descended, but what he did was led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then verse 11 in Ephesians 4 says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till. That's an interesting word there. Till. Till we all come into faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto something. Now, you know it as well as I do by now. You should have that verse memorized. What are we coming unto something? Unto what? A perfect man. And then he tells you what that was or what that is. Same thing. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Or the Christ. You're coming into the same stature and fullness and measure that your Master and Savior and Lord that we've been singing about all morning is in. Did you know that? That's what the Bible teaches you. So that you henceforth be no more tossed about by every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro. And that the cunning craftiness of men who lie in wait to deceive you shall no more have effect upon you. Now that's what we're here for. And if ministry is not doing that in your life, then you're under the wrong ministry. If it's not bringing you into a measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, if you're not perfecting and growing in Him, then you're missing what the Bible is really teaching you all about. We are doing a series on the home and the family. This is, my goodness, fifth tape on the home and the family. Fifth message. This one will probably be in two parts since it is now the hour that it is. But I want to read, and I'll just go, I might get the first part of this page, this first part of page 17. And on Psalms 127, read with me. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, except the Lord builds a house, we're wasting our time, right? Except he's in this thing, we're doing nothing but building the wrong kingdom. We are wasting our time. We're in vanity and vexation and a vain spirit if the Lord's not building this house. And then it says that except he keeps the city. And Jesus says that you are a city set on a hill. Except he keeps this thing. I can't keep it. And you can't keep it. Except Jesus keeps this city, we're wasting our time. And then verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You're wasting your time. You can stay up all night and cry in your cereal. You can stay up all day and waste your time worrying about it. But except the Lord builds the house, we're wasting our time. Now, houses are in three realms. First realm, you are a house. Paul says, know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the house that God has chosen to live and dwell in from now on. You are the house of God. You're a lively stones, Peter says. You're built upon foundations of the apostles and prophets, Ephesians says. Now, you're the house, and God dwells and lives in you. And if you don't build that house according to the principles and precepts of God, you're wasting your time. You will fall. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. The second realm of a house is your individual home in which this series is aimed and directed at, but I'm bringing in all the aspects of it. I'm bringing in you as individuals. I'm bringing in the church while and as I teach on this subject of the home and the family. The second realm of the house is your home, your individual, where you dwell at, where you as a body, where you individually as a body dwell with your wife, with your children. That's a home. That's a house. Same principles. If you don't build that house upon the Word of God, and if God's not in it, it'll fall. Will it? And the third realm of house is what you're sitting in. The church. We are lively stones. Did I start with that one or did I end with that one? Did I mix the two up? You're an individual temple of the Holy Ghost. You're a house. This is a house, the house of the Lord, where we come together jointly, fitly framed together like a house. Lively stones. And then, thirdly, the home. Right. I got them, didn't I? Okay, there's three realms. In Matthew chapter 7, I want you to read with me. We'll start there at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Bible promise. This is a Bible promise. If you build your house upon this rock, which are the sayings of Jesus, the rains can descend, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and it'll beat on that house. Now notice the word beat. Your house will be beat upon, whether your individual house, whether you're a house where your wife and your children dwell at, or whether this is a house of God. It's going to be beat on. And the only way it can stand is if we build it upon the sayings of Jesus. Beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Another Bible promise. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon the sand. Built it where he wanted to build it, how he wanted to build it. He built it upon the sand. And the rain descended. Promise. And the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. And what happened to it? It fell. Do it your way. Go ahead. See if it works. No, it won't. Bible promise, it'll fall. And great was the fall of it. Now, that's what we're teaching. What do you think about it so far? Now go to Amos 3. Do you know where that's at? Go to Isaiah, and then I think it's three doors down. I mean, not Isaiah, Daniel. Daniel, then three doors down. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then it should be Amos, yes. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's all I want. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, what the study is on this morning is on communication in marriage. Communicating with your spouse. And also linking it into communicating with your children. But the primary aspect is communicating with your mate. And it's been very difficult on me this week. My mate's in Panama City. And as I write these things, I've got a picture of her over there in the office. Her and I together. It's been tough. I miss my mate. She's pretty. And we walk together, but we have to be in agreement. How can we walk together except we are in agreement? Now, that's where I'm coming from. You've got these notes, and I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to talk a little bit. But for two people to walk together in a state of matrimony, in a state of agreement, there must be a lot of communication. Do you think so? Now, we can take it in any realm you want to go to. We can stay in the home. You can take it to your individual temple. If you're going to walk with the Lord, do you have to be in agreement with Him? Huh? You are the bride, right? You're Christ. You're the bride of Christ. You must be in agreement with Him if you're going to walk with Him. Let's bring it to the house of God. If the pastor and the board of elders and deacons are not in agreement, what's going to happen? You see? You must be. Don't care what house you're going to build. If you aren't in agreement, what's it going to do? It's going to fall. There must be communication. There must be communication between you and your spouse, between you and the Lord, and between me and my elders and deacons. No matter what realm I want to go into, I have got to be in agreement and in communication with those which I'm married to. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Book of Mark, Matthew, Mark. And what I want to get here is give you the direct goal of what marriage is all about. If you don't understand what marriage is for in the first place, then you have no goal set. And so what I want to give you is what it's all about. The goal of marriage. And here again, we can go in either realm we want to go to. In the temple, your individual home, or the house of God. But look in Mark chapter 10 and verse 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave, that means be glued to, his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. Is that red, by the way? Okay. I just want to make sure. And they shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. There is only one reason to leave mama and daddy. There's only one reason to leave home. What is it? To be married. To be joined together with the mate. To be joined together with your spouse. That is the reason for leaving the individual home. And when you leave that individual home, you're joined together with your mate. And then what is the purpose of the joining together with that mate? Did you get it there? Do what? Become one flesh. And if you don't have that purpose in mind, then you're totally wasting your time. Because you'll never become one flesh unless that's your goal. Your purpose in marriage is to become one. Two become one. Twain are joined together into one flesh. One thought, one spirit, one mind. All right, let's go to the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is that true? All right. Who are your eyes on? What is your goal and purpose in that joining of Christ in you? What is the purpose of it? To conform to His image, to be what He is, to be one flesh with Him. You're the bride. He's deposited the seed of His life in you. You are then to become one flesh with Him. Take it to the church. What is our purpose? It's clear as a bell in the Bible. We're many-membered man. We come together, joints of supply, one to the other, to become the bride of Christ in His image. So whatever realm you want to look at this in, there it is. It's the same purpose. It's to become one flesh, and that's the entire purpose of marriage. Is to become closer and closer and closer. Not further and further and further. What do you think? Let me go on and stop. That is the goal. That is the purpose of marriage. And if there is any other reasons for you being married, then you have the wrong motivations and purposes. If you've married for money, because he's gorgeous, or whatever your purposes are, you see, if you are not planning on becoming one flesh with that individual, then you have missed what God's got for you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. On your notes on page 17, that I've given you, look at point B, the definition of communication. Definition of communication. This is from Webster's Dictionary. It says that communication is a noun. That's important, isn't it? Communication is a noun. The act of making known. It means intercourse by speech. That should be speech. Intercourse by speech, correspondence, messages, etc. Information means of passing from one place to another. Let me go back. I wasn't clear on that. It means information, semicolon. And it means of passing from one place to another. I really didn't understand all I knew there. But here's what I want anyway, this next line. Information exchanged through a system of symbols, signs, or behavior. What is communication? Communication is a system of transferring information by signs and systems and by your behavior. Now notice what I'm saying here. I'm greatly vasting what communication is in what we think. What we think communication is speech and talking to one another. I'm wanting that to explode into your thinking. You communicate by your actions. You communicate by your expressions. Example. Somebody's not at church today. What are they telling me? Are they communicating with me? Yes, they are, by their action. Hadn't said a word. Don't have to. But you are here. What are you telling me? You see? You communicate not only by your words, but by your actions, by your facial expressions. Communication is a much more vast thing than simply speech. Now that's what we're working with here. Because I want to show you something in a second, that you are a tree. You're a tree, and what you produce is what you're communicating. And a good tree produces good fruit. And an evil tree produces evil fruit. And what you're communicating is good or evil. So I want to get past that realm of just thinking that we're talking about talking. I'm talking about communicating. And I'm talking about communicating in a marriage. I'm talking about communicating in a home. I'm talking about communicating with the Lord. I'm talking about communicating with your children. I'm talking about communicating in the house of God. I'm talking about communication. Now, what dictates your communication? Look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Reading, again, that is read. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his ability to talk in tongues and prophesy and jump the pews. Huh? What is the tree known by? It's fruit. Now, does the Bible tell us that we shouldn't judge or how to judge? How to judge? Verse 34, O generation of vipers. What about that? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus here likens man to what? A tree. And Psalms 1 says that we are a tree, as a tree that is planted by the river. Ever read it? And you go all the way back to Genesis and you'll find two trees. What kind are they? One's good and evil. What's the other one? Life. Which one are you hanging around? Well, I can tell by what you're producing. If you're producing life, I know which tree you're hanging around. If you're producing good and evil, how am I doing? You see, that's the mentality that Christians have. Good and evil. One day I'm good, one day I'm evil. Get away from that tree. That's duality thinking. Two types. Double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways, James said. Get away from there. Produce life and only life. Now, what I want to get here, the thing that commands or dictates the fruit that you produce is this. Look, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Here it is. For out of the abundance of the heart you communicate. What dictates your communications? Your heart. Your heart. What you are is not what I see. What you are is what's in here. And you're going to manifest it sooner or later. You can hide it for a while, but brother, I'll guarantee you, it'll come out if I'm around you long enough. And vice versa. But you will produce what's in here. And what dictates your communications is what's inside of you, your heart. For out of your heart comes the abundance of what you do and speak and how you communicate. And if your heart's evil, what are you going to produce? Evil. If your heart's good, what are you going to produce? Good. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But that's what Jesus wants us to see here. What we communicate, what we say, what we do, our actions. You see, we're just not talking about what speaking we do, and we're talking about what a tree produces. Are you producing life or death? Are you producing good and evil? What are you producing? That's what I want to know. Because that tells me what your heart is. And from that abundance, your mouth will speak and you will grow fruit. Brother Young, how do you know that I was thinking that? I just told you. How do you know that I had problems here? How did you know? How did you know? Oh, look at your fruit. It's not complicated, is it? What are you growing? What are you producing? What's your life doing? Now, let's go a little deeper. I didn't know if I was going to go to Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, and I want 15, but let's go back to 13. I can't be this close to it and not get it. Mark 7, 13. And it says that in verse 13 of Mark 7 that we are making the word of God of none effect through our what? Traditions. And that word means customs. That means habits. That means religion. You're making the word of God of none effect through traditions of man, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do you. And 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Hearken and understand, people, what we're fixing to read. Hearken and understand what I'm fixing to tell you. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are that defile the man. What is your tree producing? That tells the tale. That tells me if you're defiled or if you're not defiled. Verse 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Do you think Jesus was trying to emphasize this? He says, hearken and understand. If you can hear this, please hear it. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not, look now, it entereth not into his heart. It's what's in your heart that will defile you. And what you eat does not enter into your heart. It bypasses the heart. That is the key to this whole aspect of Scripture, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the trough, purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out, you produce that which cometh out of the man. That defiles the man. It's what your tree is producing It's what you are communicating to me, to your wife, to your children, to your mama, to your daddy, to your husband, to your whatever. That's what defiles you. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Where? Where is it coming from? It's already in there, coming out. It's being produced through the life, through the tree. And there it is. It's in the heart of man. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What dictates your communication? Your heart. And it's not just what you say. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But I don't ever see you. What are you telling me? You're telling me you love him, but what is your tree producing? I love my wife. And he beats the snot out of her the night before. What is his life telling me? What is his tree telling me? You hear what I'm saying. The dictates of your communication with your spouse, with your mate, with your children, with your parents comes from within you. And you need to look at them. All right, let's leave that one. Point D. I'll get this page and then we'll quit. Sin in the garden. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. I want verse 45, but let's start with 45. I want 24. I want 25, but let's start with 23. One more thought that I didn't bring out that I see on my notes that I got to. Did Jesus say in Matthew there where we were reading, did he say that by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned? Did he? Yes, he did. Therefore, by your communication with your wife, you are either justified or condemned. Therefore, by your communication with your children, you are either justified or condemned. Therefore, by your communication with your husband, you are either... Are you getting it? Your communication has an awfully lot to do with your justification. Correct communication equals correct justification. All right, Genesis 2:25, sin in the garden. I want to get verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. Why did he leave? Why did he leave? Final purpose was to be one flesh. Ultimate purpose. He left to be with his wife, but the final purpose was to become one flesh with his spouse. Now here's what I want. Verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, before sin came, man and woman had an intimate, ultimate relationship. Total openness. And the word gold in Revelation 20, 21 and 22 there, where it's telling you about that heavenly city and the streets of gold that you're going to walk on, that word, if you look it up, is a word that means transparent. Nothing hidden. Total transparency. And the relationship that man had with his wife in the beginning was a total transparent relationship. Diaphino is that Greek word in Revelation. This is a diaphino relationship that Adam had with Eve. Nothing was hidden. They were unashamed. Nothing hidden between the two. Speaks of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There should be nothing hidden between you and your Lord. It speaks of your relationship with elders and deacons in the church and pastor. There should be nothing hidden in that relationship. Now, what happened that caused a division and an ashamedness? What happened? Sin. Sin entered into the garden. They were messing around the wrong tree. Sin entered into the garden. And what happened was all of a sudden they're looking for some fig leaves to cover up with. All of a sudden they're ashamed. Look at verse 7 of chapter 3. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why? No more intimacy. No more one fleshness. They were separated now. Sin had come in and driven them apart. And they looked at themselves and they were now ashamed. Is that right? What happens in your life with the Lord Jesus Christ as you are naked before Him and unashamed and you sin? You look for some fig leaves, don't you? You want to cover it up? Are you out there? You want to cover that thing up. You don't want anybody to know. Sin has separated you from the Lord. Now, many of you have some fig leaves. But what I'm trying to project to you and show you is that as you will get the sin out of the marriage, and I'm not talking about adulterous affairs, I'm not talking about those things, I'm talking about things that you know aren't right in your marriage. I'm talking about anything from adultery all the way through. You get it out, what happens to your relationship with your mate? You start dropping off fig leaves. And you get closer and closer and less ashamed and less ashamed and less ashamed. Finally, there's no more fig leaves. What happens with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as you get the sin out of your life? Isn't that what happens? You get closer to Him and closer to Him and closer to Him. No more fig leaves. Fig leaves cause the separation. Sin caused the separation. And then you start looking for some fig leaves to cover it up. Now I want to read that. Sin in the Garden on page 17. Point D. Adam and Eve enjoyed the intimacy and openness which God created man and woman to enjoy. Genesis 2:25. That intimacy and openness was broken by sin, and they tried to conceal themselves from one another in Genesis 3:7. Before sin, there was nothing hidden between Adam and Eve and God. Sin is what destroyed that relationship. Therefore, as sin is removed from the relationship with your spouse, the more of one flesh the relationship becomes, and the fewer fig leaves you need. The same is true in your relationship with God. The more sin that is removed, the more one flesh you become with Him. Are you the bride of Christ? And as we conform more to His image and get the junk out of us, purge our lives, get all that wood and hay and stubble out of us and become gold and silver and precious stones, which is what the city is made of anyway, and you're a city set on a hill, we become what that city is anyhow. We become more intimate with Him and we need less fig leaves. Now, what I'm really trying to get here and get out of this is it's not you committing adultery or having some illicit affair or some sin such as that, some biggie, you know. We classify sins. Number one, number two, number three. What I'm really trying to come back to, and I'll close it out with this thought, is what's in your heart? Where is your heart taking you? Is it taking you towards your mate or away from your mate? Is there a heart in you that's desirous of a one flesh relationship? Or is there a heart in you that wants to spread your flesh around? What's in your heart? Are you wanting to get together for the ultimate goal and ultimate purpose of marriage? Or have you got your own individual plans? That's what I'm trying to get across from this first page of notes. Now, here are the effects of sin that we have just looked at. Now, you look at your life and you see if this is there. The effects of sin on the communication in the garden. It says, number one, a desire not to communicate. Genesis 3:8. They hid from God. They covered themselves. They went and hid in the bushes. And a lot of you are hiding in the bushes. You got your fig leaves and you're hiding in the bushes. Hiding from God and hiding from mama or hiding from death. Got something you don't want them to see in your life. Something in your heart ain't right and you don't want them to see it. I'm going to do it. Second one, a tendency to shift blame for failures. God came to the man and said, why'd you do it, Adam? This is woman you gave me, Lord. It's her fault. That's why I'm not in church. It's that woman. That's why I'm not serving Him. That won't work. Did you know that? Guiled me. And we always blame it on the devil, don't we? The devil made me do it. That's what the mind says. The mind, the woman in you, the womb in you. What receives the seed, what receives the thoughts in you, the woman, the mind in you, always wants to say the devil made me do it. And it's really your lust. It's really your heart. And then there was a tendency to conceal oneself from one's mate, and that's the fig leaves that we've already talked about. I'll stop. Stand.